Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey, hosted by two fellow travelers who found a soul connection on the path to higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you're likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experiences with you each week. Join us as we spill the tea on what it's like to wake up to your authentic self. My name is, excuse me. My name is Amaral, and I'm here with...
I am Lola Singer, and you're probably having a little throat chakra closure, because we're going to be talking about language. We're going to talk about light language in particular, so maybe you don't want to speak it. Actually, he does speak light language, so do I. And we have discovered on the spiritual journey that a lot of people knew to the spiritual path are very, very curious about light language.
Yep.
And we can only share our personal experiences with it to help you. I don't know that there are a whole lot of things we can say, this must happen, this must happen, this must happen. But we'll let you know how it developed for us.
So I have to share this. My one rule of thumb rule is if somebody in the spiritual community tells you this can only work if this and this has to be followed and this has to be done this way, run away.
Yeah, because you're going to discover, for me especially, in once again, based on my personal experience, I've been singing, speaking, and writing light language for more than 10 years now, is that I personally think that you have to do some spiritual homework to get to the point where you sing or speak in light language or even write in light language. I don't think it's something that someone can teach you in three easy lessons personally.
Definitely not.
And we seem to have corroboration on that with an internet search even. So we want to let you kind of demystify that. So it's up to you. If you want to spend money on someone who can tell you you can do it in three easy lessons, but that's not my experience, and that's not Amaral's experience either.
No, definitely not.
Let's talk about us, I guess. Yep. That sounds so egotistical, but that's how you'll learn through our experiences. And what do you want to say about light language?
So the first thing I was going to say is, what is it? What it is? What is light language? So on the description it says, is a vibrational soul-based language.
Yes, I always call it language before language. Mm-hmm. So it's frequency, it's sound. Yeah. It doesn't have any specific meaning. So when your soul is expressing through you, it could be vowel sounds. It could be, some people sound kind of chirpy, you know. Yeah. Other people sound, well, I guess I can't really tell you because everyone's unique. Mm-hmm. And if you start listening to people's light language, like the people who posted on social media, I sound kind of Latin and Spanish. I roll my R's a lot. Other people sound completely different.
I feel like I sound more native.
Yeah. So we'll give you some examples later. But anyway, I interrupted. I apologize.
No, and what I was going to say is I love the definition of soul language because it's really like your soul expressing itself with frequency.
And that's a good point because everybody's got a unique soul, so they're going to have a unique soul sound.
Exactly. And you know what? The one thing that really fascinates me is the different types. And you know, even with light language, it's not that anyone's doing it wrong. It's just that for me, not all light language connects with me. And it's about connection too. Like, for example... Like sometimes, like nowadays, it's really popular. Like if you go on TikTok, you go on any social platform, they'll be like, okay, now I'm going to do this light language to assist you with this. With certain ones, I give it a try because they're not that long. And I just close my eyes and really tune into it. And then some connects with me and some just absolutely does not. And
well, that's exactly right because we're talking about sound and frequency. Mm-hmm. Okay. And everyone's got what we just established, a unique soul sound.
Yep.
Just like when somebody is singing off key in the chorus, you're going to hear disharmony.
Yep.
That doesn't mean they're singing a bad note independently, but it, with the other notes around it, there's a clash. So when we're talking about light language, you're going to feel a harmony with some people's light language because it's a frequency match to you. Mm-hmm. You're going to feel disharmony with other people's light language, is what you're talking about, because it's not a good frequency match for you.
Mm-hmm.
No foul.
Yeah, and there's no wrong or right.
Yeah. So, for example, I've looked on YouTube. I've had that experience, too, where some people's light language, and you're being more polite than I'm going to be. Some people's light language is like the nails on the chalkboard for me. Seriously. But I might have to turn it off, but then I like to read the comments underneath,
mm-hmm.
especially on YouTube, for example. And I'll see comments like, oh, that was so beautiful. Oh, that touched my heart. I was so moved by that. I feel like home. There you go. It was a good frequency yep. match for someone else,
exactly.
not for me personally. So I guess this is our way of saying you're not doing it right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're just expressing you.
Okay, so let's bring it up to the next thing. How is it expressed? It's expressed through sound, movement, and symbols. Sounds, it's obviously obvious, is what we hear. Movement, it can be with your hands. It can be with your body, too.
Oh, yeah. Some people dance light language. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, the reason I know a lot of this is because I used to be a moderator for a Facebook group about light language. So I have seen a lot of people dancing. I've seen a lot of people move their hands. I've heard a lot of different type of light language. Some I love and some it's like, okay, other people love. Mm-hmm. And then also I have definitely seen the way people draw and the glyphs. So,
yeah. And Lola does that as well. And she's very unique about it. And in fact, she's so unique about it that one time we were like doing this. What was it that we were doing? We were doing in a class. And I said, Lola, can you write down some light language for me here?
Oh, you did a collage.
Yes.
You wanted light language on your collage.
Yes. And I love her light language because it was like so, like just her way of doing the symbols. It was just so nice. And I feel like mine's kind of sloppy. So there you go. Obviously, her light language connects with me. And I
think you brought something up very important for the group that are listening to hear. We're worse critics of our own light language than anybody else.
That is very true. So when I first started doing light language, I felt like I really censored myself because it was like I was dealing with unworthy things. So I'm like, so if I'm dealing with unworthiness already, that's it's within me, in order to really stand and say, this is my soul language, there needs to be that confidence behind it too, because it's yes. like that frequency. So if you're hiding still, your light language, even if you are having a form of light language, may not be connecting to others because it's like very muted and very, the frequency is a mismatch to others.
Yeah, and some people just are naturally soft and some people are naturally loud too.
Yep.
My brain got derailed, but it's back on track. And that's a good point. I was scared. I was absolutely mortified to sing in light language mm-hmm. before anybody. Maybe some of the people listening might know of Reverend Eva Marquez, because she's been like for 20 years. She's a Palladian channeler and she does light language. And I actually reached out to her when I was first doing light language for a reading, but I didn't tell her about light language at all. I just got a regular reading and she picked up on there's something about your throat. And then she had me do light language once I said, well, I've started to sing in light language, and she had me sing for her. And she actually said, a lot of people think they're doing light language. They're not always right, but this is the real thing. So she was the one who was pushing me.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's the one who wanted me to start a YouTube channel. So I mean, it's nice to get that kind of mentorship from yeah. someone. Yeah, it was. I guess it was more confirmation. But then because she could, with light language, you're going to feel it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so she felt it.
And I feel like sometimes too, like, for example, for me, when I really want to feel the light language, I will close my eyes because then I can really like feel it, and it really brings like images, even it brings things, it brings information in.
You just said the operable word, feel it. People try to translate it.
Yeah.
But this is language that's coming from the soul. It is not coming from your brain.
Yep.
It's a totally right brain creative process, you know, just like art. And then the left brain is the one that's trying to decode it and say, well, that kind of sounded like a word I recognize, so it must be that. Or that symbol looks like a three, so it must be a three. It's like, no. So to experience light language, feeling is the proper way to do it. So a lot of times I encourage people to try to feel it through their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And also to think of it like, you know, like if you go to an art gallery that's got modern art, and one with a lot of orange paint is going to feel different than one with a lot of blue paint, right?
Yep.
So that's what light language is. There's orange frequency, there's blue frequency in color. There's also the frequency of the sound.
You just brought up a good point that I hadn't even thought about it. And that is when I first started hearing light language, I was definitely trying to figure out with my left brain.
Because
I was trying to pick up words that kind of resonated as like, oh, that's what it means. But once I started going with the feeling, it just made so much more sense and it was so much more profound. But before that, I really did try to figure out what I was trying to say.
And when I draw people's spirit guides, I always add light language codes to the drawing. And I have people tell me, well, what does that mean? Or will I ever be able to decode what that means? And the answer is not with your left side of your brain.
Yep.
No.
All right, our next thing that comes up, it's what's the purpose of it? So it can be applied. These are some examples. It can be used for healing, activation, and spiritual growth. But here's my thing, because intention is so powerful that I feel whatever your intention is for that light language, you can use that frequency to assist with that.
Actually, you brought up something that I learned the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Because for years and years and years, once I did start singing in light language when I lived in Seattle, I was asked to sing before like a spiritual meetup at mm-hmm. several of them. If I was in attendance, they always asked me to sing first to set the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the intuitives who ran one of those meetings was like, you have to set an intention every time.
Mm-hmm.
You use light language. And I was like, what? No, it just feels so good. I'm going to do a little free for all, you know? And so I was a little rebellious about that, but I finally understood because with the intention, the sound knows where to go.
Yep.
And it's just as simple as saying, this is for the intention of helping people feel less stress, for example.
Exactly.
It can be just that simple. And he was right. I finally figured that out, that intention is extremely important. You can set the intention to help heal yourself, move the energy within your body.
One of the things I always find too is, depending on the intention, is the type of language you'll do. Some of it might be slower or softer. Some of them is more projective.
Yes. Yes. When you allow the flow, which mm-hmm. is the soul expressing. And that's what happens. For some of you know that I do a light language drumming circle once a month, and we gather as a group, and I get up, we set an intention, I get up and sing a song in light language, and that song can sound very, very, very different depending on our intentions, right? So that'd be interesting. You've observed it. So what's that like for you when you've noticed that I've changed the sounds?
So because we set an intention, like before we start a song, before they start the drum beat, like usually they choose the drum beat, and then Lola will, once it gets started, Lola starts doing light language. And it really adds to everything. It's almost like everything comes together. So it's like the drumming, it's the intention, and then the light language. And for me, I'm such a person that goes so deep with it, but I just close my eyes. So even if I'm playing my own drum or playing whatever, or using whatever instrument, I just close my eyes. And I really get taken into, like, it's interesting, like, with the things that I see, the things that are shown to me, but it's very powerful. That way I can only explain it is it amps it up, and mm-hmm. it really adds the extra energy that it needs to that intention. Because we set intentions, and obviously it starts with somewhere. The drum is already a powerful tool. Any kind of instrument in music is just a powerful tool.
And especially when a group is doing it.
Yeah, and then you add light language to it, so it becomes very powerful. Like, in fact, I can definitely attest that a lot of these, the drumming circles that she does, is by the time we're done, we just feel so like, whoa, that was a lot of energy we just processed.
And that's because we're setting intentions mm-hmm. as a group together. We decide what the intention is, and then I'll just match the intention. So mm-hmm. we're all working as a team.
Yep.
Yeah. And so that brings us back to you. That's how you use light language as sound healing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the intention is very important in that case. So a lot of people think of light language as a healing modality. I do too. When I first started speaking and singing in light language, it was through meditation. It would come up spontaneously,
mm-hmm.
and I could feel the shifts in my body. I could feel the chemistry of my body changing mm-hmm. through sound. You guys, it's simple. You understand how sound heals even when you use a tuning fork. Mm-hmm. I'm just the tuning fork is my voice, and it's shifting my body.
Yep.
And then I learned how to project it to help other people as well.
Yep. And there's different ways that it comes to you, because I remember I took a class on it, but I didn't take it so much with like, oh, I'm going to come out of here with like this major language. What I took it for was to understand it more and to kind of start practicing in it. And what it was, I really liked the class because, as like Lola said, it was not like a 3-day class. It was like, I think it was, if I remember for it, it was 9 weeks. In each week, we did, we practiced with things different, but it was all based on intention, and it was all based on expression, and it was sound expression. And then we tried it, like, we would take turns, and we would use it with one another, and then we would give input about it and how they felt, the other person felt. And so it was very interesting, but even after that, I shut it completely down. Let me tell you why I shut it all down. It was confidence. It yes. was, I absolutely had no confidence.
We all compare our light language to other people. Yes. I don't know why there's such a human tendency to do that.
Well, and I think that's just in general with everything in life, but I really shut it down. And I was like, then I was mad at myself because I was like, well, what was the point of taking that class if you're never, and I think I haven't even have a, if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure I have like a certificate that I took that class. I have so many classes that I've taken, you guys, but I even had a certificate and I just never used it because to me at that time, it wasn't my time yet.
Well, this is why I personally think that light language is an initiation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, once again, we're talking about our own personal experiences. It didn't come through to me till I had made a commitment to myself to meditate every night.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of my relaxation, getting in touch with the quiet part of myself, it emerged naturally. So mm-hmm. I never took classes. I never got any kind of training. I honestly, I might get people angry at me for this. I honestly don't think you can teach it. I really don't. But I do think you can teach people to loosen up and get yes. more comfortable with their voice,
mm-hmm.
which ultimately may or may not, may or may not lead to light language. But I think that's what these teachers, I mean, I never took a class. I yeah. don't know. But I'm guessing that's what they're doing. They're just trying to get you more comfortable with
yeah,
your voice.
Yeah, because it was a lot more about tuning into yourself, being comfortable, expressing yourself, having an intention, connecting to certain emotions, and then having, it's almost like, okay, think about like this type of scenario, and if you couldn't speak it out and you had to sound it out, how would you express it? And it was like little practices like that, but mm-hmm. it didn't feel so weird because everybody was doing it. I'm sure if it was just one person that would have been put such in the spot, they would have not been okay with it. But this is good that you, like, we're talking about this because we're also like, one of the things that I wanted to mention was how beginners can get started with light language. Meaning, obviously, it's a thing that'll come, like, it's an initiation, like Lola said, but these are some tools that can help you.
Before we do the tools, let's mm-hmm. talk about what light language feels like.
Okay.
So they can get an idea mm-hmm. because you're going to feel sensations in your own body.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever people ask me about light language, I say, you know, it's light language because it always makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I would call it like being shaken up in a pop can.
Yeah.
You know, very effervescent.
Well, and it can also add on to an experience as well.
Yes, because it's also for emotional release. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, this is another thing that people need to know. It doesn't always sound pretty.
Exactly.
Sometimes it sounds very guttural, like you were struggling with your throat.
Mm-hmm.
When I've been doing light language and I can feel it's in my throat, it sometimes, it sounds more like, you know, like those Mongolian throat singers.
Yeah.
You know, it, and other times I sound like sweet as can be and mm-hmm. very dulcet tones. So if you make guttural noises, that's part of you healing yourself. It's okay. That's still light language, even though yeah. you might go, well, that didn't sound nice. It's really how it feels, the sensations in your body that are the most important. And it can be like you feel warmer. You could feel like you're more present.
Mm-hmm.
I used to feel like when I was speaking light language, like there was a guide there. Mm-hmm. I could kind of, and the guide would touch my cheek. I can't say that's going to be the case for everybody, but you might.
Yeah.
So everyone's going to experience it differently. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to feel like a huge breakthrough. It just has to, you just have to be conscious that while you're making these sounds, that it feels like it's more than just your regular singing voice, that there's something really happening chemically in your body.
I coach a breathwork class, and on the breathwork class, out of nowhere, one time I just started doing light language, and it was so interesting because I was guided by spirit to do the light language, and then later on I realized it really helps with assisting a release, like especially when the intention is just pure, just assisting with whatever needs to come out. And it's so, it adds, and even with a drum circle too, I feel it just amps up that energy because it's all intention. It's all intention going the same direction, and it's just adding to the energy. So it's really amping it up.
Yes, and it helps clear emotions. It helps mm-hmm. clear the physical. It helps clear your mental. Before we dive into this, mm-hmm. what you want to say, I want to read you something from my internet search.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is very important for people here at the beginning. It's the biggest misconceptions about light language. And I'm just going to read them verbatim. You guys ready? Do I need special gifts? No. Is it dangerous? No. It's like sound healing. Do I need to believe in aliens? No. Am I making it up? Probably not. So there you go. Let's get that out of the way.
I like that though, because our minds just go so fast, and something it always overthinks, and it tries to just put so many things, and especially when people are so caught up in 3D life, really, it's like it's a major blockage for, I guess, being able to be open to just accepting and to feel, which is the main things about light language.
Yeah, pay attention to sensations, forget about meaning, right? And some people end up doing like journaling, and when they write light language, they'll have books and books and books and books of symbols. That's mm-hmm. cool too. When I started writing, and it might not look great at first, I think I must have had 6-7 books of just spirals.
Oh, there you go.
It took a while for mine to come through. So just allow things to happen naturally, and I think that's a lot easier than thinking you're doing it wrong by trying to force it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and saying, how come it hasn't happened yet? How come it hasn't happened yet?
I was giggling right now because I was thinking about something. Because we live outside, like in a different building, but my in-laws are like right close. And when I'm doing my breathwork class and I do the light language, sometimes it can get pretty loud. And I didn't realize until way later, because one of them pointed out, is like, oh yeah, were you singing? And what's funny about that whole statement of were you singing is that they took it as I was singing, but really it was light language. But then yeah. They're probably completely like not even thinking, they're on just 3D, whatever they're doing, watching TV.
Yeah, but since your light language sounds, like you said, more Native American, mm-hmm. that they're used to that kind of sound. Yeah. Somebody singing, right?
Yep. So it's not like they were questioning, like, what are you doing? So they were just saying, like, oh, yeah, because we heard you, like, singing.
Oh, this... Sometimes you get, you know, you feel like you want to burst out in light mm-hmm. language. So this is for everybody. I have a trick for you guys. If that ever happens and you're in public, you just pick up your phone and you speak your light language into the phone. And everybody's going to think you're speaking to a friend in Armenian. That's what I used to do.
That's so funny.
Well, sometimes we need practical tips about light language.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, what were you going to say before? Oh, no. I so rudely interrupted you.
No, and you brought up a good point, too, because I find that now that I've been doing more light language, the more you do it, the more your soul feels free to express itself.
It wants to. It just feels so good.
Because sometimes I'll be in my car, and then I'll be thinking of something, and then the feeling would go really deep, and then... next thing you know, I'm just doing light language.
You break out into yeah. it. It's just like a bad musical from yeah. the 1950s.
And I thought for the, like, well, once I really started practicing because I was more comfortable with it, I was like, that's just so odd that it just comes on automatically. But that's one of the things, like, and I guess that's the other part that I was going to mention is, like, if you feel like you have to force it, it's probably not light language.
Well, that's why I'm a little wary about people. Teaching classes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it develops naturally, great. And I'm glad yours took time. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So now I can't, this is what's so silly, you guys. I cannot go to any kind of form of healing without pre-warning the host. If you hear me say some light language, ignore mm-hmm. me, because me that's too. Just part of it. I can't even help it. Mm-hmm. It's not like a thing where I can consciously be like, okay, now you be quiet, because it literally comes out. And it was so interesting because when I was like in my recent retreat, I told the host, I said, if I do light language, don't mind it. And they're like, well, is it going to be loud? I said, no, it's actually really quiet. But then this is the most beautiful thing that happened. The people next to me, both sides, they said, we loved the light language because it was so quiet, but everything was so quiet and it was so soothing that it really helped us with what we were going through as well.
And that's also like when you took me to that breathwork class in Seattle mm-hmm. and we didn't know anybody and I warned them I might do light language mm-hmm. and it came out and it did not come out quiet.
Yeah.
But people loved it afterward too, didn't they? Mm-hmm. So, but it is awkward. I would admit it is awkward when you're with strangers doing it.
Yeah. Well, at least you're there for the common thing, which is the heal.
The other thing that's really cool in those situations, because I've had this happen a couple times, is you can activate somebody else's light language.
Yeah.
It's not intentional. They're just ready, and they hear your light language. All of a sudden, boom, they're doing it. Mm-hmm. That happened to me at a couple of a Reiki events. Mm-hmm. So, I've also had where you end up talking to someone in light language, you don't know what they're saying, but it's like you're telling each other jokes. And even though my conscious brain had no idea what we were saying, we were talking back and forth and laughing so hard we had tears coming out of our eyes. And that was with when the person I activated, she started, she's working on me during a Reiki circle, and I had sung beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I guess that activated her, and then she just kept going. And we were cracking up like we were old friends from Planet X. You know, yeah. it was like our souls knew each other at that point. Didn't matter that, you know, I'd never met her before.
And I think you just brought up a good point. So it's like we go through a spiritual awakening, and then we're working on ourselves and stuff. And then there's like light language comes in and everything, and then as well as other things, I should say other gifts. And then it's like we've really become the woo-woos, because we can, like, we're doing things that others can't relate to. And then if you think about it, like, if you take yourself back to the day when you weren't even into spirituality or haven't done your spiritual awakening yet, if you would hear someone just kind of like make sounds with like gibberish, what would be your first thought that you would think would be like, oh, they're like lost their mind. What are they thinking? So that's like a good observation of how things change. And nowadays, I seem to be more on the side of, I could care less what you think of me, because first of all, I don't even know you. Second of all, if I do know you, I'll explain to you what I'm doing. But other than that, it's no longer a guilt, like, I guess a shame that you have when you do it. But before, you feel kind of like, well, when I first started, I was really nervous. I was super nervous about even doing it. I could, like, all I could think of is, like, you always think of your worst critics, right? So you picture your parents there and be like, what would my parents think or say if they heard me through light language? So, like, that's because your number one critics are always going to be in your head, your parents. But then I'm like, why would I care what they think? Like, they never ask me what I think about what they do, so.
Well, and going hand in hand with that, I started speaking Sing Light Language well over 10 years ago, and not very many people were publicly doing or saying they did it.
Yeah.
But what I've seen is because everything's shifting so fast, people's light language is turning on a lot faster now. A lot of people have this gift now. I don't feel particularly special at this point, because it's just their souls coming through, and they were ready, and it's not that weird anymore in the spiritual community. When I first was starting expressed in light language, I would go to a meetup in Seattle. I was the only person who was doing light language in these entire meetups, and there'd be like 30 people at each meetup. You know, it's just like, so now it's just everybody seems to, if you've on the spiritual path, you've at least heard of it at this point. So, and a lot of people are waking up to that gift. So you could very easily too. But once again, I feel like you do your spiritual, your mental, your emotional homework, your shadow work. And that's when you kind of open the door to it. It's I do feel like it's an initiation.
Yeah. Well, that, and then also, it's like kind of like gifts. Like back in the day, if you like talk about your gifts and stuff, of course, everybody's like, oh, there's a tarot reader, there's this and there's that. But now, because awakening to your truth also means awakening to your gifts. So it is more visible now, like as far as people having different gifts, people being able to do different things. So it's just kind of fascinating how things have moved up to be more open. All right, so how beginners can get started. Let's start with that. First is intention. Explain the importance of setting an intention to connect with an expressed light language. Intentions are huge as far as just for you to really connect to that frequency and be able to connect with or add to whatever your intention is.
Yeah, you kind of invite it in. But I would say there's a part that goes with it, which is also then be patient with yourself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because it's probably not good. Some people spontaneously start, like I said, like with that person, I activated their light language. But you can set the intention, and then you just need to allow.
Yep. So the second bullet point is meditation. Suggest starting a meditation practice or deepening an existing one as a way to prepare the system.
Funny how that worked for me. I have something that also, I don't know if it's going to be on your list, but it's as simple as listening to other people's light language to help you get started too.
No, that is not on the list, but it's a good add-on to
it. It's on my list. True. That's why I wanted to make sure.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The third one is exposure. Advise beginners to, advise beginners to listen to experienced channelers and receive transmissions to become familiar with the energy.
And see, because there's so many people who've woken up to this gift, there's going to be a variety for you to experience. So go with the people that you like or that you feel a shift in your body. Like, I'll scroll through TikTok, and I guess because I've been doing light language for so long, there are very few people whose light language I actually feel deeply. But when I find one, it's like, oh, wow, I felt that one. I am bookmarking you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's people, you know, it's not always the flashy people. Mm-hmm. There's one guy I love on TikTok. Oh, I can't think of it. Joshua, with the A, Joshua. And he's just like, he looks like a librarian. He's so cute. And he just timidly does his light language. And I feel it every time. So I don't, he doesn't have to have a big entourage and, you know, a fancy outfit on. He's just a guy doing light language. And I know it works for me.
Yeah. The other one is health. Touch on how adopting a healthy lifestyle can help prepare the body and system for this form of expression.
I'm so glad that's on there because I feel that's part of the initiation. Mm-hmm. Yes.
One is just the changes of things that are like no longer toxic for you. And moving on, the it makes so much sense because the more you take care of your body, the more your body starts growing and developing things that you haven't found out about it. So such as light language.
Yeah.
And the more it can channel through things easier because it no longer has to go against the stagnation of whatever toxins are in your body.
And it goes with what you said earlier about intention too, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm committing to making at least small improvements for my health.
Mm-hmm.
That opens the door, and then possibly the light language could come through as part of that.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and the last one, which totally fits in, is surrender. Emphasize the importance of releasing attachment to a specific outcome and simply being open to the process.
I'm so glad that's on the list because this is based on my experience as a moderator for a Facebook group. So many people want to label their light language.
Yeah.
Oh, it's from Andromeda. I'm speaking Andromedan. Oh, I am speaking Assyrian dialect. Oh, I am speaking from as an archangel or a dragon. You might be. That's fine if that's what you think. But when you limit it, then other people are going to think, oh, I'm doing something wrong because I don't sound like a dragon.
Yeah.
I'm doing something wrong because I don't sound like that Syrian sound.
Oh, yeah.
So once again, I would highly encourage people to think of it more as frequency from the soul rather than, oh, it has to be from this, you know, planet or this star system, for example, or this dimensional realm. If that's the input you're getting from channeling or whatever, your guides, fine. But I think people, when they're new to light language, if they feel they're doing something wrong, if they can't put the label on it.
Mm-hmm. But see, labels are so ego center too, so that's why
it's I wasn't going to tread there, but I'm kind of glad you did.
Because anytime you need a label to something, then obviously there's like that recognition that, like, and that is very ego. The thing about the ego is it's not necessarily bad. It has a purpose for you, but it's like when you're, it's weird because I think that's one of the biggest things that I dropped from this retreat is the fact that I realized that at times, and we all do this sometimes, is we wanna feel special. I think everybody in the world wants to feel special. Why wouldn't they? Like, that's just a normal human thing. But when that means I want to showcase and I want to feel more important than you, that's when it does a really weird turn.
This is good because this is a good cautionary tale, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yep.
So that's when you're going to need to use your discernment mm-hmm. as far as, of course, catching your own ego if you can.
Yep.
But it's tricky. But also being aware that you will need to use your discernment about whose light language you are aligning with.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are going to be very soul-centered,
yep.
and other people are going to be more ego-centered. Yeah. And I'm not going to cast dispersions on anybody in particular. I'm just going to tell you, be aware, trust your intuition. If somebody says or does something that feels a little off for you, then find somebody else who does light language. Yeah.
And I have encounter people that will just be like, oh, my language is so powerful. My light language is so powerful. And then they go, and then you're like, it might be for them.
No, let's rephrase that, because it is powerful for people at the same wavelength and frequency. Mm-hmm. You and I have done a lot of inner work, so we're at probably a different frequency than some people, but it does work. So yes, so it seems powerful to them, but you're not feeling it because you've been working on yourself for so long that you're at a different frequency.
And I guess what I mean by that, it's not necessarily that I'm like throwing even like any shade on it. What I'm just saying is like, why don't you let people experience it? Like anytime you're throwing that title or you're putting that add-on thing, like what if it doesn't work? Like it doesn't really bring that up.
Personally, that's a turnoff for me when people says this will be a powerful transmission. I agree. When they have to talk it up and puff it up, do a little puffery. Yeah.
Like let's just
do it.
Do it.
Just do it from the heart.
Yes, do it from the heart. Like no expectations. Just set up your intention and just go for it. That's what I meant. It wasn't so much of a like I'm trying to judge you or I'm trying to say that you're doing it wrong. It's just allow things to just come out and allow yourself to just experience and don't be, use your discernment when somebody is like, because a lot of the times there are those characters everywhere, even in spirituality, that they just really want to be seen with all the wrong things. Like instead of like being like, I want to really align for growth. I want to help others. I just want to express myself. They're more about like titles and all these things are just a little bit over the top. And do you know, the thing is, even that has a place in your spiritual awakening journey, because we all go through that, but that doesn't mean that that's where you have to stay. And all I'm saying is that even if you find those people in that, it's fine. If things don't connect with you, just kind of take your own pace, go on your own little thing. There's so many people now. There's so many light languages that like there's plenty to choose from.
And you brought up a point that we've kind of forgot to mention, is that as you shift and change and grow, you may shift and change and outgrow the light language person who speaks, sings, writes language, dances it. You may actually shift enough that that's not the person for you anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
It's even almost like as people that you like to listen to, like for example, online, I started following a certain people when I first started my spiritual awakening, mm-hmm. and there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. It's like, their content no longer aligned with me. So I was not getting anything beneficial per se, or really like a connection base. So I had to just move on and just do my own thing. And that's okay too.
Yeah, and I'm trying to say this in the most delicate way I can. Even with people who are your peers, you know, like you feel like they're on a mm-hmm. similar spiritual path to you, they may love somebody's light language mm-hmm. and you may not. And there's nothing wrong with that mm-hmm. either. And I'm going to use a veiled example, is that we have a mutual friend. When he does light language, he burps, and I cannot stand it. Mm-hmm. I will not watch it. I cannot handle the burps, but that's how he gets the energy. Like when he's doing clearings for people, mm-hmm. that's how he's expelling the energy that needs to be released. Mm-hmm. Other people, that doesn't bother them at all. Mm-hmm. So I guess once again, maybe it's the frequency match plus just what you like in general. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to. I know what he's up to. I know what he's doing. I know it's to clear energy. I just cannot handle the burps.
Yeah. And it is different. But it's not necessarily like, it's just to each their own cup of tea. That's kind of just how I roll with it now. Or how I think of it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's a good way to do that. And so let's go back to how I used to be a moderator for a light language group. And I was honored that they asked me. And that's why I've seen so many different types of light language, including written and danced. So that is a really good way to get exposed to light language. There are quite a few Facebook groups dealing with light language exclusively. So if you're curious about it, in addition to you, what you normally think of the, you know, YouTube or TikTok, check out those groups. You could just do a search for light language groups on, and take a look, and find out who you like and join the group if you feel like it's a good match.
Yep. There is a lot of light language groups. I've noticed that, I think I was friends with one of them, and then all of a sudden I got all these suggestions, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know there was this many light language groups online, but there is a lot. So interesting. I would say that, like, as a moderator, that would be really interesting because you get to experience it all.
Well, which is great. But sometimes there's somebody's light language, like we talked about earlier, that maybe it's not the best harmonic match for you, but I would still have to watch the whole videos to make sure everything was basically following the rules in the videos. Mm-hmm. You would be surprised at how many people try to submit videos where they're naked.
Why?
I don't know. I guess they think their light language is purer if they're naked. I don't know. That we had to put no nudity as the group rules. That's just a sidebar.
That's so funny. In a way, it's really funny.
Okay, so let's go back to being serious about light language. So why don't we set an intention each and just demonstrate, and you'll see how different we sound.
Okay.
So... what would be a good intention? You pick an intention for me.
Okay. Let's do empowerment.
Empowerment. Mm-hmm. Okay. And because I sing more than I speak it, I'm gonna set the intention to sing. Okay. So you guys just listen, feel in your bodies. That's all you need to do. Even if you hear a word where you go, that kind of sounds like a Spanish word I've heard. Just ignore that, okay? Anase maholo mahaleo no makeo. Imateo sero no maha. Hamaneo no mahaleo no maho. Hamalea ne sale. Hamalea ne sale. Hamalea ne salana hala ne olo.
Good job. I really felt it, especially like on my solar plex in my heart.
Yeah, and if you aren't in the studio, aka cabin, you wouldn't have seen I was moving my hand as I did that too. So that's part of the light language. I'm pushing the sound. Okay.
Yep.
Let's do harmonizing your masculine and feminine.
Okay. Yamaya Shaya Hamaya Hiya Hamaya Shia Huaya Hey Yamaya Heya Hiya Shuya Hamba Heya Harahaya Hamvia Uame araham vahayasha. Heya harahum vahashayaya huama. Heya shua. Heya hiaya. Shayamiya. Heya harama.
I like that. That was so balanced and steady.
Yeah, it was so funny because at first I felt the masculine come in right away, but then the feminine like dropped it down. So it was kind of...
Yeah, I felt it in my heart too. I don't know how other people felt, but Okay, now let's do the spoken language. We can't dance for you, but we can talk. And you're going to hear how different his speech is to my speech. So pick a new intention for me, and I'll just speak.
All right. Let's do... Oh, I know. Unconditional love. That would be a good one.
You better be open to receiving that. Yeah. Oh, see, I'm already moving my hands.
Yeah.
Nyato kupara satero malate sante koro malate sa para atakera o koranya alatera ishala kero malate sante kara ikoro malate sante kara alatera ashala 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 anatero anatero mateo kotuparanya miro maleo totupara ashala 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 Ala Mara Ikoromala.
Ooh, I really felt that on my heart. It was really expensive too. Like it was expanding.
Well, that sounds like the desired intention. Okay, so now let's experience Amaral and perfect. To help you relax to the point where you can start trusting your own light language to come through.
Okay. Hama hashatara hiara hama hiara hashatara hi huama hashaya heya hama hashatara hiya hayara huama hashayara huama hashatara hayeya hashira hua hama Heya hashatara hiyara hua mahasha. Heya hashatira hiya hua mahashaya. Haya hara heya husha. Haya heya hushara hamba. Haya shatara heya huya.
Ooh. I felt that in my root, and then it shifted to my solar plexus with a real strong, comfortable solar plexus, which makes sense based on the intention. Mm-hmm. That's how I experienced it. You guys might have experienced it slightly differently, but I think that's a good way of letting people know how different, you know, people can sound.
Exactly. And because it is a soul language, it's just going to be so different from everyone. And, it was so interesting when I took that class. The first thing they had us do was kind of like think of like words that are not regular words, but like that you just want to say just to get you in the comfort of speaking. And I thought at first I thought that was very weird, because what do you mean words that aren't very words? And what I think they meant was like kind of like gibberish, because mm-hmm. that's what it was going to sound like. So we started that, but kind of start at your own pace. I find it that for me, I love to charge up my drinks with light language. So like you think of an intention, and before you drink it, it can be gratitude. It can be love. It can be, I love you, body. But just think of the thought in your head of like the intention that you want to put in, and then do light language on your cup before you drink it. And it's very powerful too, because your cells do listen.
Absolutely they do. And a lot of people, if they write language, they write it on their hands or their arms. Mm. And or you can write it on a cup as well, like, but they wear it. Mm-hmm. So I know someone from who was also a moderator, and she would have marking pen, and she's got her light language glyphs all over her body. Every day they're different. It's like, well, see, that's another thing you can do with light language. Mm-hmm. You can write it, put it under your pillow.
Yeah.
I feel like we kind of left the people who write out of it. So let's correct that in the next few minutes. Mm-hmm. Because if you start looking at light language groups where the people are posting their written light language, you're going to see, just like with the vocals, everybody writes differently. Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody. Actually, some of them write similarly.
Yeah.
But that would be the same soul group, right? Mm-hmm. But also, there's different styles where, like for me, I'm kind of free form. I kind of call myself, like you see how fast I can write light language.
Oh, yeah.
I just write it like I'm writing cursive, you know? But other people are very exact. They pull out a protractor and a compass, and they make star maps. And it's considered a form of light. It looks like an architect drew something up. So sometimes it's with more shapes. It's not always the glyphs. There might be shape with a few glyphs in it, or it could be a language that's all glyphs. But it's fascinating just to see the styles, because some people are more fluid and other people are very precise with what they put on paper.
I also find that there's a lot of geometrical shapes that like it has in common with what I've experienced, I've seen in, I mean, sacred geometry is everywhere too. So, I mean, it would come up and...
But that's really sound. Mm-hmm. It's sound on paper.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But I do find that I love Lola's light language because it's just, I find it to be really beautiful. And maybe I need to work more on mine because...
You mean the written?
Yeah. I find it that when I write it and stuff, it just, it feels like gibberish to me. But I could be just like over analyzing, of course. But
you're probably being your own worst critic. Yeah. Remember, mine started with just a bunch of spirals, but I just kept going for it.
Yeah.
Amaral likes my light language so much, he's got a real tattoo of it on his arm.
Yeah. So, yeah, she drew him a code, a guide with that came with it, the shield. And in the shield, there was a symbol. And the symbol just drew me in because I remember and I saw myself in another lifetime wearing that as a tattoo. And I remember the arm that it was, and I ended up doing it there. And it was a Mayan, like the person that did my tattoo. She was spiritual inclined, and she knew about language, and she was drawing.
I mean, that's tattoo artist.
Yeah, the tattoo artist. And she kept saying, wow, this is like really Mayan and powerful. Whoa, like the energy that I'm getting from it. And I thought it was such a cool, it was a cool way that someone that didn't even know what the tattoo was about was already like bringing out the information that I was like had tapped into. And that's why I decided to get it done. So, but it's really powerful regardless. It's just so, just have fun with it. Like, just let it flow and just don't, with the moment you try to be too serious with it, it's the moment that it doesn't allow it for it to flow.
Yeah, because the soul is all about just fluid expression. Mm-hmm. So when you're kind of censoring yourself, it's harder to experience it.
Yeah.
The same thing with you writing. That's a good example. You were censoring yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. It gave me a good idea, too, to maybe practice more. I've been maybe too hard on myself, and I need to revisit that.
Yes. So we hope that people have learned through our personal experiences light language. I know you'll agree with some of the things I said. You'll disagree with some of the things I said, but it's based on my own experience.
Yeah. And that's all we want to we're just sharing our experiences and how we came about.
And hopefully we demystified it a little bit for those of you who are very new to it. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, and please visit mysticalwares.com. They are our sponsor, especially to check out the Shungite section. And I would love to do some readings for some of the Woo Wooville listeners. So please check out my website. I'm at www.lolasinger.com. I do tarot readings and the spirit guide drawings that we talked about with the light language.
Thank you for tuning in.
Bye. Bye.